compensation. I cannot tell you about our future strategy as being a multinational giant. Coca-Cola can go to any extent to curb our demands. It took us 13 years to get this far. We don't want to struggle that much again in order to get compensation.
Rapidly dropping groundwater levels have made many residents of water-scarce regions decide that access to fresh water is more precious than the luxury of carbonated drinks. Jaswinder Sehgal, FSRN, Kala Dera, India.
And that does it for this week's program. From Tampa, Florida, I'm Nell Abram. Thanks for listening.
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Free Speech Radio News airs every Friday at 5 on WEFT Community Radio, followed by Smile Politely Radio coming up next. Listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. I'm Rebecca, and I'm joined in the studio today by Dan Lin. Hi, Dan.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Dan is the National Policy Director for Phoenix, the Phoenix Botanicals Dispensary, which is opening pretty soon here in Champaign-Urbana.
Yeah, we're excited to be opening the first medical cannabis dispensary in the Champaign-Urbana area. We are still in the construction phase, so we're a few weeks away from actually opening, but we're trying to let people know who we are and what we're doing and see if they qualify for the medical cannabis pilot program.
So to get us started, can you tell us a little bit about the medical cannabis pilot program, what it is, and how people can get involved in that?
Sure. So it is a pilot program. We are about 2 years through this four-year program. Patients need to have one of 39 qualifying conditions. If they have one of those conditions, they can go to their doctor who will write them a recommendation, which is actually different than a prescription. With that recommendation, the doctor will send that into the state. The patient will send in their own application. There is a fee for the patient to pay, and then the patient does unfortunately need to go through a fingerprinting process. But once when they're a approved for this program. They can register with a single dispensary. They can change their registration, of course, but they do need to be registered with the dispensary, and then they can go in and purchase medical cannabis safely and legally in an environment that's going to be friendly and helpful for their health and well-being.
And can you talk a little bit more about what that environment is going to be? What has the process been like of opening the dispensary here in Champaign-Urbana, the different steps that you've gone through, and what is the environment ultimately going to be like?
Well, there was an application process to get the business license, which was a two-week application window in September of 2014. When Phoenix Botanical was awarded the license, they actually had to move from their original location because there was another licensee that was within a certain proximity. And then actually the second...
When you say another licensee, you mean another dispensary. Dispensary.
Okay, yeah, which I believe is supposed to be opening in Urbana at some point in the future. I haven't seen them doing any construction, so I'm not sure when they're planning on opening or if they're planning on opening. But actually the place that Phoenix moved to after that initial location, they ended up having problems with a leaking roof. So then they subsequently needed to find a new building to have this dispensary in. And there's certain requirements that they need to be so many feet away from residential areas, from schools, those type of facilities. So now we're located at 1704 South Neal Street, Suite C. We're hoping to get this construction wrapped up and be opening sometime in early April.
Well, congratulations on finally finding a space.
Yeah, we like it. You know, we are happy where we are. I think that the Champaign-Urbana area needs to have a medical cannabis dispensary because some of the patients that we've been talking to in this area are driving to Peoria or to Canton or sometimes Springfield to get their medicine. And that's an unreasonable distance to go just to get access to medicine. So we're hoping to be opening as soon as possible so that those patients don't have to make those commutes.
Can you talk a little bit about the cannabis that will be at this dispensary? What's its origin? How is it kind of processed and prepared for people who will be going there?
Sure. So in the Illinois Medical Cannabis Pilot Program, all of the medicine that is sold to patients is grown within the state of Illinois. There are 21 licensed cultivation centers. I believe 18 of them are operational at this point. The medicine then goes from the cultivation centers to a lab to be tested for residual pesticides, mold, mildew, any of those things so that we can make sure that the patients are getting a safe product. The cultivation centers are also the ones who will be producing any type of infused products like edibles or concentrates, tinctures, salves, pills. The cultivation centers are the ones who produce all of those materials. They then sell them to us, the dispensary, and we then turn around and sell it to the patients in the locations where we are spread out across the state.
Could you talk a little bit about the origins of this pilot program in terms of the policy groundwork that went into place before this program came into being?
Yeah, it was a 10-year process, legislative process, to turn this concept into a law in Illinois. For a long time, we were looking at other states like California or Colorado or states that had medical cannabis programs on the books for a while. And the Illinois legislature debated this issue very thoroughly. We had a lot of stakeholders weigh in on what they wanted to see or did not want to see with this program. And eventually we were able to make a lot of compromises, which is important in the political process because you can't always get exactly what you want every single time. You need to be willing to be flexible with some of these things. And eventually we were able to add this pilot aspect, a sunset clause, so that it's a trial period so that we can show people that if this is a very unsuccessful program or if there's a lot of problems with it, it will automatically expire. But we know that once when patients have access to this medicine, their quality of life will be improved. We know that this program will bring investment dollars to communities. It'll create jobs. And all of those are why I'm confident that this program will be extended. But eventually, you know, it took us a 10-year process. We really had to spend a lot of time lobbying the lawmakers, bringing patients to the Capitol, showing them that these people are sick individuals. They have debilitating medical conditions. This isn't just a guise for people to get high. This is a legitimate medicine. It's a natural medicine that's much safer than many of the pharmaceuticals that these patients were taking. And we just want to give them a safe and legal route to obtain it because a lot of the patients were already medicating illegally just so that they can get the relief that they need from this. So now we are, like I said, 2 years into this pilot program of 4 years, but we're hopeful that it will be extended and made permanent soon.
Can you talk with a little bit more specifics about the contours of that debate as it was taking place? I'm curious in particular if there are points that you can remember from the lobbying process where there are particular kinds of argument that advocates in favor of medical cannabis made that were convincing ultimately to lawmakers.
Yeah, well, some of the aspects of the program that people don't like were put in there as a result of concerns from law enforcement. The fingerprinting requirement for patients, having to also undergo a background check. Patients that have an excluded offense are not allowed to participate in this program. Excluded offenses being anyone that has a felony drug conviction or a violent felony conviction on their record. Certain aspects that a lot of patients wanted to see were to be able to grow their own medicine and have home cultivation. And that was something where over the years we were pushing for home cultivation, but the law enforcement community felt that how many plants we were going to allow was too much. They felt that the amount of weight that could be harvested from a single plant, which is very debatable, would have been more than any patient could possibly have consumed. I believe the original legislation had 12 plants. We narrowed that down to 8 and then 6 and then 6, only 3 of which could be mature plants, and we weren't able to pass those bills. So eventually we had to take out the home cultivation aspect. Adding the sunset clause is another one that we put in to make this more politically tolerable to get certain votes to pass it. And then certain things about how many licenses would be available for the businesses. 60 dispensary licenses are available statewide. There were 22 cultivation licenses, which was one for each state police district. And those are spread out across the state of Illinois. So those would be other aspects that were negotiated into this bill and into this law.
What is your sense of how Illinois' medical cannabis legislation compares to other states that have legalized medical cannabis?
Well, at the time that we passed this, I think it was rightly touted as the strictest medical cannabis program in the country. Now, if you compare it to, say, New York State's medical cannabis program, I think that theirs is stricter. They don't allow for any type of smokable medicine to be produced, whereas ours, you're allowed to purchase the dried flowers, which are used for smoking, along with edibles and tinctures and other things, whereas New York doesn't allow for any of the smokable medicine. So I think that theirs is stricter in that regard. Some of the things with fingerprinting and background checks, I think that's something that makes ours stricter than just about any others as well. But it's not a perfect program. I don't think anybody proclaims it to be perfect. But if you look at what was legislatively feasible, you know, this is the best that we could come up with.
So I know that you're still involved in lobbying around legislation related to medical cannabis. What are you currently lobbying for? What kind of current what changes in legislation do you hope will take place beyond extending the pilot program?
Sure. So there's two mechanisms for adding more conditions to this pilot program. One of them is having patients and their doctor petition a panel of experts, which is the Medical Cannabis Advisory Board. Even if that advisory board approves a new condition, it's ultimately up to the director of the Department of Public Health. And as we've seen twice now, all of the conditions that have been approved via the Medical Cannabis Advisory Board have been rejected by that director of public health. The second mechanism for adding new conditions is through the legislative process. We were able to successfully do that with epilepsy and seizure disorders, which was also a mechanism for allowing minors to participate in this program because the original legislation did not allow anyone under the age of 18 to get access to this medicine. After we passed this legislation, but before we got the one for epilepsy approved, there was a CNN special where Dr. Sanjay Gupta highlighted parents of epileptic children that suffer from sometimes 100 seizures per day having to move to a state like Colorado to get access to a highly concentrated CBD oil to give to their children with epilepsy and having tremendous results in lowering the amount of seizures that their children have, which greatly improves the quality of life, not just for the child, but also for the parent. And that CNN special, I would say, is directly a positive influence into why we were able to add epilepsy as well as minors to our medical cannabis pilot program.
So I want to take just a minute to pause our conversation and mention that WEFT is in the midst of a pledge drive. WEFT provides local programming here in Champaign-Urbana, including businesses that are opening, such as Venus Botanicals. And so we encourage you, if you like to have programming like this, to donate to WEFT by calling 217-359-9338 or going to weft.org. So I wanted to ask thinking again to the opening of Phoenix Botanical Botanicals here in Champaign-Urbana, what is your sense of how this dispensary that will be available here, I don't want to say compares because that sounds like so overtly competitive, but in comparison to other dispensaries around the state and other areas around the state, is that, you know, is it a very standard, are the guidelines making these dispensaries very standard? Are there differences or exceptionalities about this one here in Champaign-Urbana that you think are important to highlight?
Well, there's definitely requirements that the agency that regulates the medical cannabis dispensary requires. Certain security requirements, a method of checking in patients, making sure that nobody who isn't allowed to have access to this medicine is inside of the dispensary, making sure that there's a process for verifying that patients who are registered with us are still within their purchase limit, because the state law requires that patients are only allowed to purchase 2.5 ounces of medical cannabis every 14 days. So in that check-in process with the dispensary, the patient can come to us, be registered to us, but if they've already purchased their maximum amount, we have to turn them away because they wouldn't legally be able to buy any more than they've already been allotted. Our dispensary, I think, is going to have the feel of a higher-end doctor's office or a spa in a lot of ways. It's not going to be a very cold, dark. It's going to be well lit.
It won't be a dungeon.
It's not going to be a dungeon. It's going to be very welcoming and friendly. And we think that that's part of the wellness that we're going to be offering, is having a different type of atmosphere and approach to these patients' well-being. You know, we're going to be willing to sit there and talk to them, be responsive to whether this medicine is working for them, answering any questions that they may have. Whereas I think most patients are used to the medical environment where you talk to the nurse for a few minutes, they leave the room, the doctor comes in, looks you over real quick, maybe does another examination, and then signs a few pieces of paper and then is out of the door. You know, we really want to take the time to make sure the patients understand that we care about them, improving their quality of life, and are able to answer any questions that they have about this medicine, the legal process, what their rights are as patients. And we're really going to be there to make sure that their well-being and health is our ultimate priority.
What is your sense of how having access to medical cannabis affects people's sense of control or their relationship to the healthcare, the world of healthcare?
Well, I think there's a lot of patients now that are frustrated with the medical process and with the medical options that are out there. A lot of patients report that, you know, they're taking so many pharmaceutical drugs just to combat the side effects of other pharmaceutical drugs. Some of these drugs that they're taking for long periods of time because they have a condition that will always be with them are these drugs are deteriorating their livers, or their liver, or their kidneys in some cases. We know that with medical cannabis, we don't see those same type of negative long-term effects. We've seen a lot of patients that have been able to reduce or in some cases completely stop taking all pharmaceutical medications and just use medical cannabis to treat their ailments. We don't recommend patients doing that right away. We think that they should be in constant consultation with their doctor about what medications they're taking. I think that the overall safety of medical cannabis is that it doesn't have the potential for an overdose fatality. And we've seen lots of problems with opioid addiction and opioid fatalities, not just in the Champaign-Urbana area, but across the state and across the country right now. So we're hoping that patients that are having problems with pain, that have opioid prescriptions right now, who are building up a tolerance, will see this as another option that will be better for their long-term health and well-being.
So I want to ask more about Phoenix Botanical as a kind of broader company. So, of course, the dispensary that's opening here in Champaign-Urbana is kind of one arm within this company. So could you describe a little bit more about the structure of the company, other locations where it will ultimately be, and how Champaign-Urbana kind of fits within that network?
Yeah, so the company, Phoenix Botanicals, is actually the dispensary arm of a larger company, Phoenix Farms of Illinois. And Phoenix Farms applied for a few cultivation licenses and other dispensary licenses. They were only awarded this one dispensary here in Champaign, but they do have partners and affiliates that have applied for medical cannabis licenses in Florida, in Maryland. They have affiliates in Michigan, as well as Nevada and California. So they are a nationwide company at this point. They are looking to expand into other markets. And I think that because the majority of the business investors in this company are Illinois-based, they were really happy to see us get a license here where the flagship university is.
So I know that as part of the lead up to opening Phoenix Botanicals here in town, there have been a series of meetings at different community points and sort of educational events with people in the community. Could you talk a little bit about what you've noticed at those events in terms of questions that people have about opening a medical cannabis dispensary here in town, and about what your sense is of the community's maybe pre-existing ideas about medical cannabis?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, we've encountered a lot of patients who are already using cannabis, whether they're registered in the program or not. We're hearing from a lot of patients who want to participate in this program, but their doctor either won't write them this recommendation, or they're prevented from writing a recommendation because they participate in a larger medical group or hospital system that actually has a top-down orders preventing doctors from writing these recommendations. So the first part is that we encounter a lot of patients who want to participate, but they can't find a doctor to write this recommendation. And then we find other patients who are already using cannabis. They're not registered with the program. We need to make them understand that they're not going to be able to just come to our store and purchase medicine without registering with the program. So we try and educate patients on the enrollment process. We try and hold their hand through that and make sure that they know all of the different paperwork that they need to fill out, where they can go to get fingerprinted. And then in other community events that we've put together, it's really just about educating people about the benefits of medical cannabis, the history of this plant, what the rules and regulations are with this law, why this could be a better alternative for their treatment compared to some of the pharmaceutical drugs that they may be taking, as well as some of the latest research out there about the endocannabinoid system and the different cannabinoids that are found in different strains of cannabis and the different profiles of those strains.
Can you give a brief example of the last thing that you were talking about regarding the different systems in the plant?
Sure. So in all mammals, there is an endocannabinoid system, and it's somewhat of a recently discovered system. It modulates other systems in the body, like the cardiovascular system, the digestive system, the central nervous system. And in the endocannabinoid system, you have two receptors, what's known as a CB1 receptor and a CB2 receptor. And in the cannabis plant, in the flowers that most people consume, there are different strains of cannabis. All of these strains have different cannabinoid profiles. The cannabinoids are the different compounds that make up the plant material. So one that people are very familiar with that follow cannabis is THC, and that's the one that gives people the euphoric effect. It has the psychoactive component. For a long time, the underground illegal market was looking to maximize THC content. More recently, they discovered a second one, the CBD, which is like the new kid on the block that's always being talked about and is the latest trend in cannabinoid medicine. CBD has a lot of the medical benefits without that psychoactive component. So you're starting to see people actively seeking out strains of cannabis that have a high CBD content. THC and CBD are inversely related in their levels of the different in different strains of cannabis. So one strain might have a lot of THC, but then it'll also have very little CBD, and then another strain will have high CBD content and less THC. And because CBD doesn't have that psychoactive component, but it has a lot of the medical benefits, that seems to be what a lot of patients are actively seeking right now, because they want to be able to function, but they also need the medical benefits. And when I refer to the different strains of cannabis, it's similar to tomatoes or grapes, where you have different varieties that then have different benefits for different symptoms to treat different conditions and illnesses. So we're planning on carrying probably 15 to 30 different strains of cannabis, and we'll be able to highlight the cannabinoid profiles of those strains and then correlate those to specific symptoms that the patient has to treat their multiple sclerosis or to treat their cancer or glaucoma. We're hopeful that we'll be able to really pinpoint specific strains to help people with specific conditions.
So earlier when you were discussing the series of meetings that you've been having here in Champaign-Urbana, you were mentioning that some people that you've encountered have had difficulty getting a recommendation from their current provider. And, you know, Champaign-Urbana is a community where there's lots of, you know, the healthcare field is very large here, especially due to Carle, which is a major employer in this area. I'm curious how you, within your role within the medical cannabis world, interact with more traditional forms of healthcare. Are there, you know, forms of education or forms of conversation that you have with other kinds of medical providers to help bridge that gap?
Yeah, we're constantly reaching out to different medical groups or specific doctors that practice independently of a hospital or medical group. I know that one of the larger cultivation centers in Illinois is actively trying to work with Carle to educate them about this program, because we've found that a lot of doctors are just not aware that this program exists. They might be misinformed and think they need a specific certification to write these recommendations. They may not want to write these recommendations because cannabis is still a illegal substance, according to the federal government, to Schedule I substance. And all of those deter doctors from being able to help their patients who, in a lot of cases, are actively seeking this recommendation. You know, we don't have advertisements like the conventional pharmaceutical industry does, where talk to your doctor about this drug or talk to your doctor about that drug. But yet we have patients that are going and talking to their doctors about medical cannabis. And because some of the people in the medical community just don't know about this program, they don't know about the benefits of medical cannabis, they're not up to speed on the endocannabinoid system. There's a lot of reluctance within that medical community to write these recommendations, just because we as a industry, as a state, haven't brought them the information to really show them why this is important and why they should be helping these patients get access to this medicine.
So in our last minute, you were mentioning before we got on the air that you have a show, another meeting set up for March 20th. Could you highlight when that's happening and what people can expect from that?
Yes, we will be at the Champaign Public Library from 2 to 4 p.m. We'll kind of give an overview of our company, a little bit of the history of medical cannabis. We'll highlight the laws and regulations that are important for the Illinois Medical Cannabis Pilot Program. And then we'll try and help patients register for this program. We know that the enrollment process is very burdensome. There's a lot of hoops that patients have to jump through. We also want to be able to dispel any myths that someone in the community may have about medical cannabis or what our business is going to be like and how we're going to operate. We just want to be there to answer questions and educate and inform the community.
Well, thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local: arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. To start off the show, we listened to Lake Street Dive, Call Off Your Dogs, and we're going to end with Lucinda Williams, Are You All Right? Have a great weekend.
I've been feeling a little scared. Are you alright?